Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're here this morning, and as always, we want to worship you. Father God, we want to kneel before you and just tell you how much we love you, how much we thank the fact that we can come together and hear from you. Lord, as we get ready to read from your word, I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit, minister to every one of us here. Father, we want to hear from your word. We want to become better followers of you. And we just want to show you how much we love you. So, Father, just speak to every one of us. Let us take something home from here that we don't haven't seen before, or something that we just didn't see in the same way. Father, speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read out of John, starting with John 8, verse 2. It says, at dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts. And they're talking about Jesus. Where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. When Jesus, during Jesus' ministry, right close to the end of his life, before he was crucified, yeah, he'd go to the temple, and he would minister to people. Of course, the Pharisees, they didn't like that because he didn't teach the way they did. Now, the Pharisees, they were all about the law. And, you know, before Jesus, people did try to follow the law. But the Pharisees, as legalistic as they were, of course, added 100 million things to what they expected people to do. And it made it impossible to even come anywhere near doing what they asked. And, you know, they loved that. That was their thing. I mean, they just... this is how you are supposed to live. And, you know, they had the law that God gave to Moses and then some. But let's go on from that. It says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. They were always trying to trip him up. And the law of Moses does say that. If you go back to the Old Testament and you look, woman caught in adultery was supposed to be stoned to death. That's what it said. But, you know, Jesus was teaching forgiveness right from the start. I mean, that's something that he's taught all along. So they were trying to trip him up, kind of like, well, how is he going to make this fit in with the law? It's basically what they're trying to do. So let's see what Jesus did. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Because he kind of ignored him. I kind of wonder what he was writing down. I always wondered about that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but you know, he's writing something. You know, maybe you guys don't get it, or I don't know. But it's an interesting thought. Well, let's go on. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he just said, made one statement. Basically what he said, if you guys think you're better than her, start stoning away. And that's basically what he said. Then he just ignored him, let him sit there and stew on that. Well, let's see what they ended up doing. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. So, when they were put on the spot like that, and I think the reason the older ones probably left first, because us that are a little bit older, we realize we're in the wrong easier than the younger people. But other than that, there's no difference at all. But they started realizing, wait a minute, we're sinners too. And they all one by one left. And Jesus just kept sitting there being quiet. After they'd all left, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Now, Jesus waited till they were all alone. He didn't put her on the spot in front of people. He didn't make her stand up behind the pulpit or something and admit all the things that she'd done wrong, because she knew what she'd done wrong. Everybody else obviously knew some of what she'd done. But the same way Jesus got her alone, he likes to get us alone. And when we're real alone, when we're alone with him in our quiet place, he deals with us. And when we ask him to point things out to us, he'll point things out to us the same way that he's talking to her right now. But the one thing that we got to catch here is, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. He didn't say, neither do I condemn you. Everything's hunky-dory. Go back and do whatever you want. He said, repent, basically. He asked her to leave her life of sin. In other words, okay, you're not going to be condemned for what you did wrong. Even so, this was a really big deal. But I'm not going to condemn you, but leave your life of sin. Turn around and walk away. Don't continue to do that. That was the big thing that he pointed out to her. So, how does that apply with us? Well, one of the things I want to do, just like the Pharisees, we're real quick to judge. When we see other people doing stuff wrong, we're real quick at, man, you believe they're doing that? Or can you believe this person's doing this? And, man, did you see so-and-so? We're really good at doing that. Well, I'm going to read out of Matthew 7:1, or starting 7:1. It's got a few more, actually. The Bible says, do not judge, or you will too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't look at people and figure out that they're living a life of sin. Now, obviously, we shouldn't pass sentence. That's the way I look at that. You're going to have to make judgment calls. All your life you make judgment calls, be it with people, be it on your job, whatever. But we don't pass sentence. If you see somebody that's doing something totally wrong, obviously, you know it's wrong. But we're not the ones that pass sentence on them. But why do we need to be so careful with that? Well, that second verse, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then it goes on, and this is the really part that really drives it home. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? When we point at others, somebody said one time, when you point at somebody, you got three of them pointing back at you. And that applies to every one of us. So when we point at others about how bad they are and how wrong they are and all the things they do, we better be careful, because three fingers are pointing right back at us, and we need to self-examine ourselves. And just like it says here in the scripture, you worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a big old 2x12 in your own. And we're real easy about, we're real good at doing that. Well, let's keep reading on here. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? In other words, clean up your own life first before you think you can tell others what to do. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Exactly what I just said a minute ago. Now, once you straighten up your own life, a friend of mine used to say that you have to earn the right to speak into somebody else's life. You don't just think you can go there and beat them up. People are so good about taking the Bible and going out and beating people up with it, and that's not what the Bible's all about. We need to remember this. The next time we see somebody doing wrong, and, the Bible doesn't want us to live in sin. And the Bible's very clear. We're not here to judge people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's God's job. But he does want us to help each other to walk the path that Jesus showed us. That he does want us to do. And at times, we may have to point out to somebody that they're not living right. If you know somebody, you know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I mean, if you know people living together, for instance, that ain't married, well, the Bible says it's wrong. Well, that doesn't mean in love you can't tell them that the Bible said it's wrong, but it's not for us to pass sentence on them people. There's, I mean, all kinds of things you could pick out. Being an alcoholic is wrong. I mean, being a drug addict. I mean, there's things that the Bible clearly teaches that ain't right, and we need to help each other. So if we claim to be Christians and we don't live, we need to, in love, help one another get past that. But, just like that verse says, make sure you take that 2x12 out of your own eye before you start thinking you can tell others what to do. And the other thing is that we do it in love. I mean, that's the very critical part. It's real hard to get people to listen to you when you're beating them up. So, the conclusion of all this, what I've talked about here, is first of all, God doesn't condemn us, so we shouldn't be condemning others. That's the one main thing that I want to drive home here. And then the other part, this is the most important one, and this is this. I want to read John 3:16, and you've all heard that 100 times, but I'm going to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now that verse, everybody hears it, everybody knows it, no problem. I want to read the next verse, and that's the one that really sticks out. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So, okay, Jesus came to save the world. That's the important part. And then you read verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. So if you don't want to be condemned, there is a condition tied to that. Because if you read the rest of this verse, it says, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So God does not want to condemn anybody. He didn't send Jesus here to condemn anybody. He wants all of us to be with him in eternity. And in order for us to be there, there's one condition. We have to receive the free gift that he gave us, Jesus Christ, his Son. How do we receive that gift? We realize what he did. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. What did he do? He came to this earth. He lived here for 30-some years. He allowed himself to be crucified. He was buried, and he rose 3 days later. And he's now in heaven with God, preparing a place for us. By him dying on the cross, the Bible says the sin of the whole world was put on Jesus when he died on that cross. And it paid the price for every person here, every person in the whole world. It paid the price for everybody. And because he did that, all we have to do is say, yes, I believe that. I believe Jesus did that. And because he did that for me, I want to live for him. That's the repentant part. You know, you always hear people talking about saying a sinner's prayer, and it's really great to do that. But if you don't change your life afterwards and you want to live for Jesus, the sinner's prayer really doesn't do you a whole lot of good, because it probably wasn't real. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come and take a residence in your heart. Well, the Holy Spirit starts pointing things out to you that are right, wrong, or indifferent. And the Holy Spirit does that using your conscience. And if you read the Word and you start studying the Bible a little bit, you know, things start coming up. A lot of things the Holy Spirit just points out, and you automatically know that you're not supposed to do this anymore. And we're supposed to live for Jesus at that point. Man, it's just like your kid. Your kid wants to please you. Well, we should want to please God. And if we do that, then we have true repentance. So, let's not condemn one another. Let's make sure that we take the 2x12 out of our own eye before we start thinking we can tell our friends how to live. But let's keep an eye on one another that we do make sure we live the way we're supposed to. And let's remember to not be condemned. It does take Jesus. And the only way the world's going to know about Jesus is for us that know him is to tell them about it. So when you're at work, then I know when I'm at work, I'm around a whole bunch of people that are not Christians. It doesn't make me better than them, but it does make me saved and them lost, because they are still standing condemned. And the only thing between them and not being condemned is the fact that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So it's important that they come to know him. And just like I said, you know, like especially the motocross community, man, there's a lot of good families, a lot of good people, but there's a lot of them that have never received that gift. And the one thing that's really awesome about Christianity, you don't have to work for your salvation. Every religion makes you work for whatever they think they're going to give you. Be it the Muslims, be it the Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter who it is. Everybody says you got to work to get to heaven. You got to work on this, you got to work on that. Well, with Christianity, it ain't like that. All you have to do is accept the gift. The price has already been paid for you to go to heaven. And when you receive that gift, turn from your sin and start following Jesus, you will go to heaven. And you can have assurance of that, because the Bible's the Word of God. So when you go to bed at night and you're wondering whether you're going to wake up tomorrow, you don't have to worry about where you're going. You can go to bed and you truly know that if something did happen, you will be in heaven with Jesus. And with that, I'd like to close. Lord God, we thank you so much for ministering to us. As always, you know, the stuff you give us, Lord, is really... We could spend hours talking about it. We could spend hours going in detail. And here at the track, when we only have 15, 20 minutes, you can't really do that. So we cover a lot of stuff in a very short time. Lord, I ask that you administer to every person here. Let them take something home with them from what we just talked about. Lord, I ask that you put the desire in their heart that they'd open the Bible on their own and maybe study some of this stuff a little bit in deeper. Because there's a lot of depth to it. And man, your word is a revelation that gives you peace. When you read your word and you really study it, you get a peace in your heart. You get, it's just awesome. So Father, just every person here, I just ask that you would touch them. Touch the people that didn't make it to church this morning. Some of them wanted to and just didn't have time. But Father, you can bless them anyway. We just thank you for that. Lord, as we get ready to go riding, I just ask for covering on every person here. Let us be safe. Let us have a good time. Let us do it for your glory. And just let everybody stay out of the emergency room and just have a good time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.